This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Now, it seems as if there's also a bit of innovation that will be taking place. There will be a multimodal approach to data collection, namely computer-assisted personal interviews, computer-assisted web interviews, and computer-assisted telephonic interviews. This projects a narrative of how technology is advancing to improve processes to deliver services better and faster. I'm so happy that, you know, CAPI interviews are coming into the fore now in the wake of StatsSA. I mean, it was quite a tedious task when people come to your house and say, census. Yay, and they'll ask you with that pen and paper. We have been using CAPI interviews in research work. And the beautiful thing about it is that the people monitoring the field workers can in real time actually pick up any mistakes that may have been committed in the filling out of the survey forms, and then the field worker can be called to go back to the household and rectify those mistakes. The difficulty with the paper-based census was that you only get to see the problems or the mistakes at capturing, which then may have all sorts of complications for the data analysis. Of course, statisticians are ever so capable of cleaning up the data, which also cleaning up data also means creating certain safeguards and controls around that data, balancing the samples out and all of that, the weighting, if there's any material distortion of the data because at the fieldwork stage it wasn't collected properly. So I'm just sending it out because at times there's a cultural shock when things are done differently. If people come to your house and it's an area with great connectivity, they'll probably come for a face-to-face with the CAPI, the computer-assisted personal interview. I can vouch for them that they work. I have used them a few times in some of the studies that we have conducted. Oh, Kelvin, Census Project Manager Mulukwane, joins me on the line. Kelvin, good morning to you.
Thank you, Mulukwane, and the listeners of Power FM.
Thank you so much for joining us. This is always an exciting time for someone like yourself who has to project manage the census. It's probably the biggest research project that can ever be undertaken in a country. I don't think any researcher can come close to a census. Just tell us how the mood is at StatsSA, and are we fair to say it was the COVID-19 that created delays, or there were other issues you were sorting out that made it impossible for you to have this census in 2021?
Very true, Lukona. It is quite an exciting period for any statistical institution to be conducting the biggest mobilization in a country during peace times. Very true, the COVID-19 has really affected the plans of census taking, not only in South Africa, globally, but we can also note the recent developments in our country in relation to the local government elections. Mm. And it's of paramount importance that such very big undertakings in the country should give each other
sense. Kelvin, just please hold it for me, my brother. Please move a little. I'm just getting a bit of distraction there in your signal. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, let me send you back to Banyana. She'll try and clean up that line. People of Power, we are in conversation with Statistics South Africa. We just want to talk to them about the census, as he says, Kelvin, the biggest mobilization in the country. It is indeed. I mean, the richness of the data that they mine out. And I think it's going to be so interesting that Census 2022 is going to coincide with relatively new offices. New terms of office for municipal elections. From the 2011 one, in fact, StatsSA has this beautiful municipal stats page where you just go to your municipality and you get all sorts of information. And that is so important for planning, whether you are an outsider going in to the community to do research, or if you are an insider wanting to do something to develop your space. So hoping to get Kelvin Mulukhane's line stable for him to take us through that. No doubt the municipal councils coming into office after the 1st of November 2021 will have no reason whatsoever. I mean, of course, I mean, census will be Feb 2022. The data and foolproof stats will probably come out a year later or so, but still, it will be early on into their term of office. And of course, 2024, every political party making an offering to the country, we will be asking them, how is this evidenced? How is this an evidence-based manifesto? This is what Stats SA told us in the census. How are you responding to it? I think Kelvin is back on the line. Kelvin, are we good? Yeah, much better. Just take us through. You were telling us exciting moment, biggest mobilization of the country, but the pandemic has created some, you know, hurdles for you, including the local government elections.
Yeah, it's very true. In that importance, that very two big important projects in the country in the form of elections and the population count should give each other space to be in a position to then execute their responsibilities appropriately. Mm. It is for that very same reason that we as the Statistics South Africa decided to then move the census.
Kelvin, we are struggling. Yes. Banyana, let's try again. Peter, do we have some bills to pay? Let's pay some bills, get some housekeeping done and out of the way while we try and stabilize that. But if we don't succeed with Kelvin, we definitely have to bring back Stats SA because this has far-reaching implications. You know that they go all out and get they don't call them field workers. They are field workers, they are enumerators, and all types of people that they get to participate in this process. So we are hoping to get that line stable and just also start building up to that census 2022 February. Of course, February, an important time in the calendar of South African politics and public life. State of the Nation address usually happens then. Budget speech usually happens then. Now, census kicking off in February. Woo! We're in for a big year in 2022, Peter.
Power Talk on Power 98.7.
Let's try one more time. Kelvin, I must make this known to people of power that you are dealing with that irritating thing called load shedding in fancy terms, but it's practically power blackouts. I'm so sorry for that. Let's try again.
Unfortunately, yes.
Sounds much better, Kelvin. I know I lose much of my network once things go blackout. Now, let's probably do this, Kelvin. Try and speed up the conversation to say, now we are, you've started the countdown to February 2022. Very important matter. I'm seeing that you are introducing some technologies this time around, a much more digital approach. Just take us through that and how you hope it's going to enhance. I've already reflected, at least on my experience of using KEPI surveys, how they help you in the data collection process. But what are you envisaging with introducing these computer-assisted types of interviews?
Yes, quite correct. We are looking for the first time to deploy what we call multi-modal data collection phases, which in the main releases three modes of collection to the public, one being the web-based, the second being the telephonic interview, and the last being the copy, which is what most people are familiar with. In the main, we are really trying to embrace technological advancements by, first of all, allowing people to register on our system to be counted. And when you register, then you have to choose which mode of collection you'd prefer. But of course, because this is a very sequenced kind of operation, each of the modes is given a very limited time, and therefore it would be clear as members register how long time they do have to complete using a particular mode. And only when they haven't completed on the agreed time with the web-based and the telephonic-based, then we'll then be deploying men and women to come and knock on your households. And I think in addition to that, the first two modes, which is your web-based and the telephonic, are also aligning with rather COVID-19 regulations of social distancing and ensuring that we actually do not contribute to the infections that could come as the fourth wave is also envisaged early in the year.
Kelvin, we do know that, you know, in the field of research, telephonic interviews can have, you know, their own stated shortcomings, especially on something like the census, where in some households, I mean, I remember some questions, you probably have to go and find something just to verify if you are giving the right figure and not just taking a figure off the top of your head. I know that COVID-19 is out there. Do you think that you will try create a balance between the face-to-face and the telephonic ones? The web ones, I'm not so concerned about, because if you've chosen a web one, you probably are somebody who does spend time on your machine sending emails and stuff. You'll probably be patient with it, especially if the time given to complete is adequate. But the telephonic ones can have challenges, including, of course, if there's load shedding and then boom, a power cut.
No, very true. Very true, Lukona. I think we have done a variety of tests over the years. And we have actually picked that the telephonic interview has been one of the best uptakes so far by the public.
Okay.
And I must say there has been quite a lot of patience from the public in dealing with the telephonic. And it also depends on the size of the household, how long then the interview would take. But from the last test that we have done, which is the pilot, I think one of the best modes of collection has been the telephonic. What we have picked on the web is that as much as people have been registering, they actually need quite a lot of nudging for them to complete on the web.
It's like sending someone a questionnaire on email.
But we must emphasize that even with the web, it is actually a data-free web. Is not going to cost any of the respondents their data. So equally with our telephonic, it is a toll-free number. So we want to ensure that members of the public, as they undertake this civic duty, it doesn't cost them any cent.
Kelvin, I mean, talking about patience, just remind us about, you know, of the importance of that, you know, that we need to be patient, but also try and provide as accurate as possible, you know, information from our side and not be too cagey about it. There are questions that, you know, when you ask people about household income, at times it's very difficult to aggregate it. And in some instances, people are very skeptical to give those figures to strangers. Just remind us of the importance of giving data collectors as accurate as possible of information.
Yes, quite correct, Lukona. I think it is of paramount importance for the public to always keep in their mind that Statistics South Africa, in doing this work, it is actually governed by the Statistics Act, in addition to the best practices of official statistics. And one such is that information that is collected is kept confidential at all times. And in so doing, we first of all go through a rigorous selection process and vetting process for all our field staff, including those that would collect information telephonically. And of course, there are penalties if such would actually be found. And we also have a recording system so that we can be in a position to assess the professionalism of our field staff. Secondly, is that even when we move through now to the web-based and telephonic, we have enhanced our security measures such that information as and when is captured, it's then encrypted and no one else except individuals that have got access to analyze the data would then be in a position to see such information. So it is of paramount importance that the public understand the importance of providing accurate information, because such information becomes a very important base, for example, for distribution of revenue amongst provinces and municipalities alike. So it is of importance that people provide that accurate information, because without the accurate information, it means planning would then be based on wrong data as such. So that is a very important essence of official statistics.
Absolutely. Kelvin, I do know that there's been a big debate in some circles whether or not the 10-year cycle of censuses is still the way to go. What is the conversation you are having at StatsSA?
Well, we are looking at, of course, any institution that is expected to stand the test of time has to continuously review, look at new ways of doing business. And we are also doing the same. At this stage, there are still more internal rigorous tests that are being done. Mm. But one such that was being muted, that is being tested, is what we call a continuous population census, where we wouldn't necessarily do every 10 years, but over a period of time, we'll then collect information at various levels on various data sources. Mm. So it is intended, of course, to reduce that burden that comes every 10 years. But at this stage, it is still in a more research phase internally.
Kelvin, before I bring Diseko in, Diseko on the line, do you have enough money? At some point, StatsSA had to go to Treasury. Are you confident that you have enough money to execute a census that long after you have published the results, nobody will cast doubt on your methodology, execution thereof, and data analysis?
Well, definitely, we have been engaging with National Treasury over the five-year period. The allocation of census funds has been done over this five-year period. Hence, we were in a position to do quite a lot of intense testing processes. And for the purposes of the main, which is in February, we do have the funds that we have requested to run the census project.
Diseko, good morning.
Morning, Lukona. I just wanted to ask, when they're doing the census counting, do they also count people who are living in hijacked buildings? Because I gather this information is provided to the government to know how many policemen or police women they need to employ, how many teachers are needed. So are the street people and people who are living in hijacked buildings also counted?
Okay, fantastic. Kelvin?
Yes, correct. We actually count every person who are in the borders of South Africa come the census night. And on the night of the census, we normally focus on the homeless. We'll focus on the transient population, like people as well as at the truck depots, people at ports of entry, because those are very mobile individuals. So we target them on the night of the census. And we also go into hotels and such places where people would then either stay temporarily and the like. Yes. Also, the hijacked buildings, all structures in the country, we actually verify if there are people staying there. And once there are people, we take all efforts to actually count them. However, we do not ask whether the building has been hijacked or not, and that information wouldn't necessarily be available for statistical purposes. However, we would ask what is the ownership of the building that the household is residing in, whether it's rented, whether it's owned, and the like.
Okay. Kelvin, I hope we will make some time, either later on in the year, just to have a further conversation and address some of the questions people like Diseko are raising, you know, because what if you encounter a hostile situation where people don't want you to enter and count? We know that there are illegal brothels being run in some areas. I can take you to places in Durban. I doubt people would want you to get in there and count them. And also just some of the questions that you will be asking. You had left out religious inclined questions in the 2011 census. And just to find out some more around the questionnaire, and what is it that you are including, any gaps that you have identified. So please do make some time for us when we call upon you to go further with this conversation.
No problem at all, Lukona.
Thank you so much. Kelvin Mulogwane, a Census Project Manager at Stats SA, taking us through that countdown that has now begun in earnest, really, towards February 2022. A beautiful time. Census is a busy time of the decade every time it happens. 10:30 with Katlego Legodi. 25 minutes to the hour, 11 o'clock. Peter P, sometimes you run too fast. Tumelo Musikare is going to join me on the line, and that is Secretary of the Sol Plaatje Community Forum. As we are building up to the 1st of November 2021, we are taking taking stock in different areas. We do know that, you know, Kimberley is a tightly contested space indeed. And there are, you know, different things we have seen, from protests, from calls for mayor to step down, dissatisfaction with service delivery, and so much more that, you know, we can talk about. But indeed, these are not our elections. They are people's elections. And that's why Tumelo will take us through as to what the temperature is like at the Sol Plaatje local municipality. Tumelo, a good morning to you.
Good morning, Lukona, and good morning to the listeners.
Thank you so much for making time this morning. Perhaps introduce us here at Power Talk to the Sol Plaatje Community Forum, how you were founded and what you stand for.
Good morning again. Well, the Sol Plaatje Community Forum was established in 2018 following protests for the price of electricity, where the municipality wanted to introduce a basic charge of 260 per month before you even get access to buying electricity. And we tried the route of in conversation with the municipality, or having the formal protocols followed, try and stop them to prevent the increase of electricity, but it failed.
Did I just lose Tumelo? Tumelo, let me send you back to Nyana. People of power, you will forgive us. We are indeed bringing you Power Talk between 9 and 12 during the times of electricity blackout. Blame it on Eskom, because if we are trying to extend ourselves to people beyond where we are, we might not be load shedding, but elsewhere, somebody is definitely load shedding. And load shedding is simply a euphemism for power blackouts.
Power Talk on Power 98.7.
Indeed, we are. Tumelo Musikare is back with me, Secretary of the Sol Plaatje Community Forum. Tumelo, just after you had spoken how at challenging electricity hikes, but really didn't make an impact, I started losing you at that point in time.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for reconnecting.
Yeah. What do we say, Banyan? This is South Africa. Okay, Tumelo, you are back. You are back. Because I had lost you. And we just have to be patient with each other this morning. No, Tumelo, sending you back to Banyana in the booth. What was I still saying? This is South Africa, you know? Sata, as Lebza Lebogang Phukela would say. You must just expect Yeah, I think load shedding, power blackouts starting to hit at us. I was simply saying, Northern Cape is a very contested space for all intents and purposes. And, you know, that's why it was unsurprising, the fact that all the leaders of the two top parties were in Northern Cape on the same day, because it is just one of those places where, you know, you just feel that there might be a swing at some point. There is a possible swing vote that we could see. So we are trying to get a hold of Tumelo Musikare once more, Secretary of the Sol Plaatje Community Forum. We will try and continue to be patient. Our country needs patience. Tumelo.
Lukona, this is almost like the service delivery now, municipality.
I will blame it on your end that the municipality has rubbed off on you as a citizen, that even your gadgets can't hold up to their promise of a conversation. Tumelo, you are still taking us through, because I am interested to sort of say, you know, we can see a community forum coming up fighting on an issue that is very specific, whether it's service delivery, whether it's the rates, whether it's electricity, as you have alluded. But what has convinced you as a collective to say perhaps you need to just come out and stand up and contest about 28 wards of the 33 wards available at Sol Plaatje municipality?
So there's a confusion in what has happened, and I think it was deliberate by one of the political parties that registered recently. The Sol Plaatje Community Forum was registered in 2018 for service delivery challenges, regardless who the council or which political party is in charge.
Mm.
It's meant to represent everyone in Sol Plaatje, meaning if you are EFF member or if you are whatever a political party, ANC or DA or IFP political party member, you should be represented by this forum. That
I hope, Banya. Tana, listen, I'm going to Tumelo, are you back?
Lukona,
okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
So another political party then registered with a similar name to the Sol Plaatje Community Forum.
I see.
And that has caused a lot of
Banyan, try again. We've got 18 minutes to the hour 11. People of power, 0861-987-000. Perhaps where you are, it's not load shedding. You don't have a power blackout. Do dial me. What's happening in your community? How are you as community members taking a stand? I'm so interested in what Tumelo has to say, because it's a very, very important issue that some civic organizations remain rooted in their civic organization work. But where then there is political mischief, as he's alluding, that some people used a name that is similar to theirs to try and, to register, it may be that they're, you know, riding on their popularity. So this is what we're going to talk to Tumelo. I'm informed that he's moving to the car. Kelvin had to move outside to where he was. These are the struggles. Hey, Mara, it's alive with possibilities. And this was a slogan said many years ago about South Africa. Tumelo, let's try once more time. You are taking us through some political mischief that may have happened, a political party registering in a similar name as to yours. Do you think that this was deliberate to try and create some confusion?
I'm not sure if it was, but it can be ruled out. The thing is, everyone, South Africa is a free country, and everyone has the rights and responsibility to do what's right. I believe all the political parties hopefully have the best interests of the community at heart, and whoever registered recently and those that have been there all supposedly have the best interests of the community at heart. I'm hoping that this wasn't done to trick the community in thinking that the forum that stands for everyone is now a political party that is registered for the elections, unfortunately.
Absolutely. And Tumelo was saying it is so important for us to see civic organizations that remain rooted in communities and, as you say, you know, doing the kind of accountability work that you are saying, irrespective of who is elected into council, you will continue to do that. How do you conduct your work in a way that, you know, it doesn't seem as if you are being antagonistic to the, you know, municipality or the people that are in power? Because in some instances we've picked up that, you know, there quickly gets to be a breakdown of trust and a relationship in some instances where some people now have to come and build bridges. So how are you ensuring that you interface in a very constructive manner that is embraced as well by those who are in power, who must listen to the things that you have to share with them?
So the forum was established in 2018, and to have transparency, we've put everything on social media. Whenever there's communication with the municipality or government departments, we put the letters on Facebook, we share them on WhatsApp. We've got 5 WhatsApp groups.
And then recently, through the intervention of business, there's three businesses that came on board and said, as business, we are seeing, we're all pulling towards a better city or better Salt Lake. So we need to work with the community instead of saying, why are these people protesting and they affecting our businesses negatively? We are also residents in the city, so we need to work with the community. And through that, in August, we registered the Salt Lake Ratepayers Association, which is a ratepayers union. And the work that we are going to do with this is not to antagonize the municipality. Where they are wrong, they'll be told they are wrong. For example, the price of electricity still, since I think 2011, according to the research that we did, 2011, 2012 financial year, the prices have just been going up and it's been compounding. Mm. And they've made major mistakes. For example, now in this financial year, the previous financial year and this one, they've cited COVID as an excuse not to consult the residents and the businesses on the price increases. They've conducted a cost of supply study where they haven't even taken the company that was contracted for that. They didn't even consult with the businesses or the residents on how much it actually costs, if it's affordable. And what we've heard from the municipality or representative at the municipality is that NERSA did not approve this cost of supply study. So as the Salt Lake Community Forum, it's been difficult to take these matters on a legal basis because a lot of people do not have the funds to contribute. But business has come on board now, and we've established this new vehicle called SOPRU, which is not a political party, it's a ratepayers association, which will have funding, and we will be taking the municipality to court. Our aim actually is not to be antagonistic, like you said, because the people that are working at the municipality are residents of our city. The politicians who are making these decisions, bad or good, are residents of the city. And what we're trying to do is actually get fairness, regardless who's in charge. If you are whichever political party, if an independent candidate, the bottom line is it should make sense to live in the city. It should be affordable to live in the city, and there should be opportunities for all in the city.
Absolutely. And I'm wondering, you know, when we saw a lot of protests a few years back in Kimberley that prompted some people calling for the mayor then to resign. Of course, there were certain political interventions made. How do you rebuild as a community after such a tense moment that, you know, pits one part of the community against because some people would be wanting to move freely, but, you know, there are protests and people are trying to shut down to communicate their dissatisfaction with what is happening. What do you do as a community after such instances?
So it's been very difficult to pull back from that space that we're in. For that year, for 2018, the price of electricity went down. They took away the 260 basic charge. But then again, it deteriorated. 2019, they wanted to charge, I think, 232 cents per unit back then. And then we intervened without any protests. We went as a Salt Lake Community Forum. We went to them and had discussions with them and showed them that, but this is not affordable. And they changed the prices. They increased, but not at 232 cents per unit, but 166 cents per unit. And then in 2020, they didn't consult anyone, basically, because all they did was go on the newspaper and post exactly what they're going to be charging. 2021, it was the same thing. It's difficult because whenever you say there's a challenge, we have a problem of affordability, we have a problem of services not being rendered, the quickest way to discredit whoever says that is to say, but you are from whichever political party. You are actually against the mayor. You are actually against this council or whatever. And it like you said, it puts the community at different poles where someone is saying, but I am a member of this political party. I hear what you're saying about the electricity, but this is my leader or my representative. And it has been very, very difficult. The only way we've been able to be honest and not bias and not show any political biasness is by being transparent. Whatever is said, whatever communication, if someone says, but I think you are from XY political party and you are representing, then they have to put it in the WhatsApp meetings that we've had. They have to put it in the Telegram meetings that we have, on Facebook, and there you can't lie. It's all, everything is in writing and there's voice notes, and it's possible to then say, but no, you are actually coming with a political agenda to something that does not involve or should not involve politics. It's the bottom line of you are paid to render a service, it should be rendered. Why are you not rendering it?
In fact, Tumelo, you are reminding me of something that we have discussed here on Power Talk ahead of these local government elections. The idea of public participation and the difficulty when it is just left to the municipalities to be the ones organizing these, you know, spaces for public participation, being the ones galvanizing communities, because one would imagine that they don't do as much as they should or as much as they can, because it might have certain effects. It seems as if you are almost closing that gap for public participation in terms of ensuring that people are well versed with the business of the municipality and what is happening. How do you mobilize people? Because some may say you are a counterforce, a counterproductive force to them. How do you ensure that you build and sustain your legitimacy within communities as you do this work?
Local radio stations have been a great assistance, and also being able to get people to talk. We've created about 66, there's 110 suburbs or areas within Salt Lake Municipality. We've created up till now 66 WhatsApp groups, and through those WhatsApp groups, the different, my neighbor is able to chat on that group and say, I have a challenge with the noise next door and it can be resolved, instead of complaining on Facebook and it's left there. So the communication aspect, being able to go on the radio, being able, even this platform right now, is helping to make sure that people do not poison good causes by bringing politics into it. So the WhatsApp groups are actually helping, because people are able to speak their mind and people are able to ask questions. How am I not registered on the Indigent Register if they're saying it's available for people who meet my criteria or who are in my space? Why am I? These questions are asked on the WhatsApp groups, and we're able to answer them. And when there's no answer, someone else is able to say, but this is what I heard. I went there and they told me this. So it's difficult for those who try and lie and spin stories and not share the correct information. What happens at these public participation meetings, unfortunately, is basic. It's not lip service. It's selling a lollipop to a child, and just when the budget is fully approved, they yank that lollipop out of the child's mouth, because they when they go to these, when they the municipality does these public participation meetings, it's, we will be doing this, we will, they don't tell the people about, but we're doing this, but your price is going up, and they show the rosy side of everything. And through these years, I think since 2015, we've been able to make sure that the community understands the whole picture. It's not just, don't listen to just the promise. Listen to exactly how you should be participating to make sure that it happens. Not just sit back and say they said they would do this.
Absolutely. I'm in conversation with Tumelo Musikare, Secretary of the Solplaki Community Forum, all the way in Kimberley, as we move towards wrapping up. Tumelo, I'm aware that, you know, Northern Cape, Kimberley in particular, have been very tightly contested spaces politically, at least since 2009, national and provincial elections. And we saw, you know, the president was in the Northern Cape, the leader of the Democratic Alliance was in the Northern Cape. Other political parties are continuously deploying in the province to galvanize support. As a forum, I suppose you would not necessarily direct people as to who to vote for, as you are saying, but what is the message that you would say to political parties as they make these promises? What would you send to them as the key areas of focus that they must be paying attention to should they make it into office in the Solplaki local municipality?
It's sad that all these leaders are coming now when there was no water and we called for them, nobody showed up. When we had the challenges that we had, no one showed up. The community and everyone that is going, I'm hoping as many people will go and vote, because you cannot not vote and then say, but these people are not doing this or these people are doing this to me. We need the community to vote so that whoever is elected into council is representative and understands that they are not councillors for council, but represent the people that voted for them and the ones that did not vote for them as well. Because in essence, regardless which political party is in council, they all are supposed to speak with one voice for the betterment of the city, for the economy of the city to be much better. We used to be known as a city of first. Now it's becoming a shadow of its past self. So the voting that is going to be happening on the 1st of November, with so many people seeing an opportunity, because there's been bad service delivery or lack thereof, there's been a lot of challenges in the city. These people are seeing, oh, but these people are crying. They're coming at the end of it. They're coming where they can benefit. Where have they been throughout the years? Where were they when we had to burn down almost the city to get attention of the leaders? We need everyone that is standing for council, that's standing for to be a councillor, to be a mayor, to honestly be for the city. Stop making promises. Do not. I think because of the strike record that we have, people are fully aware of what's happening, what can happen. And if someone comes with a false promise, they will be told off. So don't make promises. Deliver. If you really honestly want to be a leader in our council or in our municipality, if you don't win these elections, work these 5 years and surely people will vote for you in the next 5 years.
Indeed, and I just have a message here from Dineo on Twitter saying it's really wonderful to hear the great work that Tumelo is doing. I just want to urge him on to keep going, keep pushing for better services in our city. Well done to him and his team. And Tumelo, I mean, as you say, that used to be a beautiful city. People decry the fact that, you know, not much has been done to even rehabilitate the city with some of the opportunities that have been placed as ideas by some people on how it can, you know, continue to be a tourist destination, continue to rehabilitate certain parts of the city to bring it to life. It seems as if some people have just forgotten about the city.
We have not. The people who live here, who grew up here,
I love it.
We haven't, and we're trying very hard. It's difficult with politics involved.
Yes.
At this moment, the SOPRU, the Soplaiki Ratepayers Union, we're busy recruiting membership from households, but it's difficult to do so, and we've actually stopped. Because if you go into someone's home and say, join this association of households, which will make sure that services are rendered, everyone is thinking, ah, no, politics. That's why we've stopped until after the elections. So I'm pleading actually with everyone that's probably listening from Kimberley and from our province. Yeah. It doesn't matter if you're whichever political party, you are a resident of your street, you are a resident of your municipality, you are a resident of our province, you are a resident of our country. The input that you make as a political person can either create a better city for your children, because we're getting older, we know what it used to look like. It must look better for the children. We can't be handing them something that's dilapidated, that doesn't have any opportunities, where they have to, when they finish with school, leave. They need to have a place, luckily with the Salt Lake University, it might be that, a place where people want to come here. And
yes,
it's not just the infrastructure, it's not just the place. The people of Kimberley are beautiful.
Okay.
The people of Kimberley are beautiful.
Tumelo, on that beautiful note, let's leave it there this morning. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir. Thank you for this call.
Tumelo Musikare, Secretary of the Solplaki Community Forum.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.